We're so glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you open your Bible and have an opportunity to study with us. And if you're listening in the car or in your automobile, we're glad that you will stay with us for the next half hour as we let the Bible speak. And we hope that we will have some things this morning to say that will be beneficial and helpful to you. We're going to talk about not just God and His authority, but we're also going to talk about family. And you might be listening this morning with a family and what we can learn to be right in the sight of God. We've been looking at great Bible stories, and we want to continue looking at that this morning. If you'll turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10, we're going to learn the story of Nadab and Abihu and their untimely and unfortunate death because they did not follow God's word. And in our families today, in our marriages and families, and in our lives, we need to be willing to follow God's word at all times. And we're so glad that you have joined us this morning. If you are where you can open your Bible, if you'll turn to Leviticus chapter 10, we're going to be reading in just a moment the first seven verses, and hopefully gain some admonition for that, for our lives today. We're going to be reading about individuals who were a part of the Old Testament Jewish priesthood. But today, all Christians are God's priests. 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9, Revelation 1, 6, and other New Testament passages. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. And there may be some changes in the priesthood. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12 tells us that there has been some changes. For example, we don't wear the garments that they wore in the Old Testament. We don't have the physical animal sacrifices. We don't go to a tabernacle. So there has been some change under the New Testament priesthood. But what has not changed is the principle of offering up sacrifices to a holy God, only what is authorized. That principle has not changed. And so I want us to learn some lessons this morning from Nadab and Abihu. We can go back. Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 11, these things were written for our admonition. They were written for our learning. And I hope that we can gain some appreciation to serve God in a way that is authorized. What started out as a day of blessing and fire ended with punishment and fire. And that's what we want to consider this morning. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, if you have your Bible and you can read along. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer and put fire therein, and laid incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And there came forth fire from before Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that Jehovah spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, draw near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they drew near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. They carried off the dead bodies of Nadab and Abihu. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, let not the hair of your heads go loose, neither rend your clothes, that you die not, and that he be not wroth with all the congregation, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Jehovah hath kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of Jehovah is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. So Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu are struck dead with God's fire for offering up that which he had not commanded them. And so I want to look at some lessons this morning, friends, for our admonition. I want to look at some lessons about Bible authority. Number two, I want to learn some lessons about family. And number three, I want us to learn some lessons about God. First of all, I want us to learn some lessons about Bible authority or religious authority, that we need to have book, chapter, and verse for all that we do. We need to have God's authority, God's commandment for all that we do. We can't go through life assuming and presuming that what we're doing in the name of religion is what God wants. The sin of assumption and presumption and self-will killed these two brothers, Nadab and Abihu. They acted when God was silent. He had not given them the commandment to offer up this particular fire, and they did it anyway. And it might be argued today that it's not a big deal. It was just some fire. It was just a small thing. The word strange in verse 1, where it says that they had offered up strange fire, that doesn't mean weird or quirky. The Hebrew word zur literally means another. It means strange to the law, foreign to the law, different from what God had authorized. They had offered up strange fire. If you turn back to Exodus chapter 30 and verse 9, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt offering, nor meal offering, and you shall pour no drink offering thereon. So we see strange incense in Exodus 30, verse 9. Not weird or crazy or strange in that sense, but that which is another, that which is different from what is authorized in the law of God. The sin of assumption, the sin of small unauthorized things. We see also the sin of partial obedience. If you look at Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, to have a censer was authorized, to have incense was authorized, but the strange fire was not. A person can have things that are right in the name of religion, but when they're mixed with unauthorized things, we're doing what is wrong. Partially being right or partial obedience is not what God is looking for. And so today people will do things where there will be elements of it that are right and scriptural and authorized, but then mixed in with that are unauthorized and unscriptural things. We don't need to mix the authorized with the unauthorized. Paul talks about will worship in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, what we want and what we will. We need to simply do that which is pleasing to God. If you were to take the time to read Leviticus chapter 8 and 9, as Moses calls Aaron and his sons, Nadab and Abihu, and they're set apart for serving in the priesthood. And they have on the proper garments, and they've offered up the proper sacrifices, and everything is good, and everything is authorized and pleasing to God. And if you look at the last part of Leviticus chapter 9, read with me 22 through 24, we find that Aaron and his sons are blessed by God. They're rewarded by God because they're doing what the law of Moses says. It's only when Nadab and Abihu offer up that which is unauthorized that they're struck dead. We must continue to do what God wants us to do. Look at Leviticus 9, 22 through 24. And Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of Jehovah appeared unto all the people. And there came forth fire from before Jehovah and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The glory of Jehovah appeared. And there was a fire of approval in consuming the sacrifices. But then one verse later, we have the fire of judgment from God. What's the one little thing that changed? Well, the offering up of that which was not commanded. And so, we want God's blessings. We want God's approval. How does that come about? By doing what God says to do in His Word. So the first lesson that we learned this morning, friends, is a lesson about proper authority. That we must do all in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17, by His authority. We must have book, chapter, and verse for what we do in the plan of salvation, in the work and worship of the church, in our daily living. Do we follow God's Word, or do we just get up in the name of religion and do whatever we want? Do we have authority for what we do? God does not strike us dead today with fire, but He does still demand that we do things by His authority, and there will be fire in the judgment day. Hellfire for those who do not do what God commands. And when they do what God does not command, where God is silent, and they fail to do what God does command. We learn a second lesson. Let's learn that lesson of authority. There's no respecter of persons with God. Sin is sin. No exemptions, no exceptions, no situation ethics. But simply do what God wants done. People with privilege like Nadab and Abihu are still not allowed to do things that are unauthorized. What a great privilege it is to be the son of Aaron, the high priest, and to offer up sacrifices for God, but you have to follow God's law. And it's a privilege today to be a Christian in the Lord's priesthood, spiritual priesthood, but we're not allowed to do things that are unauthorized. So hopefully we learned the lesson of Bible authority. But we also learned another lesson about home and family and the importance of teaching our children respect for God's Word, for God Himself, and for God's Word. Can we learn a lesson about family? As parents, we must be teaching our children respect for God and His Word. I'm seeing over the past few weeks and the past few months new statistics that are coming out with regard to the unchurched in America. About 22, almost a quarter of all Americans, about 22 to 25% now do not go to church anywhere. They're not affiliated. They do not attend any church. Approximately one quarter of all Americans. That's a lot of people. Well, what are we doing every day? What are those people doing every day? Well, they're just living their lives any way they want, the best they know how. They're following their own conscience. They're following their own human wisdom, what their friends say, what society says. And it's causing a lot of problems for them. We need, as adults and as parents, we need to be right with God ourselves. And we need to be teaching our children respect for God and His Word. And a great way to do that is to have them in Bible class each Sunday. That's more important than staying home watching TV. There's a time and place for that. That's more important than going to the golf course and going to the beach and going to the park and cutting the grass and 100 other things that could be done on Sunday. Let's take some time to make sure that our children know God's Word, and a Bible class setting on Sunday is one of the best ways to do that. We need to be doing that in our home also, but also in a Bible class. We need to teach our children respect for God and His Word, proper worship. Like Joshua, who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:14. We don't need to neglect our children like Eli did in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 3. And they ended up being ungodly young men. Let's teach our children respect for God's word. And Nadab and Abihu either had been taught this and had neglected it, or they had not been taught this, or there was a slip in their judgment. But for a moment, they did that which was not commanded, and immediately they were struck dead. Can you imagine, as a father, losing your two sons that way just immediately? The grief that it must have caused Aaron, and the sadness and the sorrow. They're here one moment, they're gone the next. Things are great. Leviticus chapter 8 and 9. And the glory of God comes and there's approval. And then you turn around and your sons are dead. Let's be teaching our children respect for God and His Word. We also learn another lesson that godly parents can have ungodly children. We learn that from Ezekiel chapter 18. Aaron, no doubt, was a good person in many ways. We know earlier that he had let the people loose to worship the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. He certainly wasn't perfect by any means, but I'm sure he had a lot of good qualities. And you can be a really good person, but your children can be ungodly if they're not following God's word. And they can die in that condition. Nadab and Abihu died in the condition of doing that which was not commanded. That's not the way to die. We don't want to face God in judgment with that situation. And so, we need to be teaching our children respect for God and His Word. Don't neglect them like some parents do. I'm not talking about physical neglect, although that's important. Don't neglect their spiritual growth. That's why I invite you to come be a part of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, the worship service, the Bible classes. Come learn about how to be right with God. I'd be glad to sit down with you. Come visit with us. Get in a relationship where you can learn about God each week and learn what to do to be right. Come. Couple of hours on Sunday morning, 1 hour on Sunday evening. We have 1 hour on Wednesday night. It's the best way to spend an hour or two. Godly parents need to be thinking about godly children. And if you need to straighten your life out, let me encourage you to do that. And then get your children right with God. It's never too late. And another lesson that we learn is that family members will be judged individually by God. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of things that are done in the body. Romans 14:12. Nadab and Abihu did that which was wrong, and they are judged for it, not their father, and vice versa. We'll all be judged individually. How will you, friend, be judged? How will your children be judged? Are you and your children right with God? We learn another lesson about family, and that is that two brothers that started out right ended up wrong. Go back to Leviticus 8 and 9. Everybody's fine. They are set apart. They're wearing the proper clothes they need to wear. They're offering up the proper sacrifices that they need to offer up. God's glory appears. He's blessed by all of that. The people are impressed. But then all of a sudden they decide on their own to do something that's not authorized. And so it's not enough just simply to start out right. We've got to keep going that way all throughout our life. And one last lesson about family, and that is serving the Lord comes before serving our family. We read in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 4 through 7, certain ones were to remove the dead bodies, the sons of Aaron's uncle. But Moses said to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, the two other sons that are left, "Let not the hair of your heads go loose, neither rend your clothes, that you die not, and that God be not wroth with all the congregation." They had some instructions to follow and let other people bury their dead, and they needed to follow that instruction. Serving the Lord comes before serving your family. And today it's turned around the other direction. Everybody serves themselves and their family, and maybe the Lord gets some attention, or maybe he doesn't. Jesus said that we must put him first in our life, even before mother or father or son or daughter, Matthew 10, 34 through 37. We must put him first, Luke 9, 59 through 62. Luke 14, 25 and following. We cannot be his disciple, Jesus said, if we're not willing to put him before even family relationships. Serve the Lord. Obey him today. And he will find a way for you to take care of your family and do the things that you need to do with him. But you put the Lord first. And these are great lessons for us today. One last lesson that I would like us to think about, and that is some lessons about God himself. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3, when Nadab and Abihu are struck dead by the Lord's fire because they had offered up that which God had not commanded them, we have to have God's spoken authority before we do something. We can't act upon God's silence. Moses says in verse 3, "This is that which Jehovah spake, saying, I will be sanctified or set apart in them that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified." Sanctified and glorified. We learn lessons about authority. Number two, we learn lessons about family. And number three, we need to learn lessons about God. God will be God. God does not change. God will be sanctified, set apart. He will be glorified, honored by his people, period. And Moses himself will learn this later in Numbers chapter 20, verses 11 and 12, when he struck the rock to bring out water, and he was told by God to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock, and he was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan because of that, and God said, "I will be sanctified," Numbers 20, 11 and 12. Even Moses had to learn that. God is going to be God, friend, regardless of how man treats him, thinks about him, ignores him, blasphemes him, obeys him. Either way, God is going to be God. He is who he is. He's not going to change. And we would do well to learn that and get on board immediately with obeying him. God is not man. There's passages of scripture in the Bible that tell us that. God is not man. God is not pushed around. God is not mocked. God is not manipulated. He is sanctified and glorified in all who come before him. And when you don't come before him in those two ways, you're going to be judged severely. We learn lessons about God. Number one, God will be God. And number two, God will be Lord. God will accept only what he authorizes, no more, no less, and nothing else. God does not want us to change his word. He doesn't want strange fire. He wants what he authorizes in those sacrifices, in the incense, in whatever it is that you're bringing to God. And that's the book of Exodus and Leviticus. Much of it are the instructions. That's what he wants. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And for us today, all of that was, of course, the law of Moses. For us today, the law of Christ, it's what he wants in becoming a Christian, in confessing him, Romans 10, 9 and 10, in repenting of our sins and being baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In worshiping him, singing without an instrument, and Ephesians 5, 16, Colossians 3, 16, Ephesians 5, 19, excuse me, worshiping on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and 7, giving of our contribution, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, partaking of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7 on the Lord's Day as well, praying, singing, preaching God's Word, giving of our contribution, taking the Lord's Supper. This is what God wants with regard to worship. Elders in each church, deacons, the organization of the church, the worship of the church, the work of the church is preaching the gospel, edifying those who are saved, being benevolent toward needy saints, but nothing in the realm of the social or the recreational or political things. Churches engage in all kinds of activities that are unauthorized. They engage in all kinds of worship that is unauthorized. They engage in a plan of salvation that is unauthorized. Names that are unauthorized. They call themselves different kinds of denominational names that are not found in the New Testament. God will be God. God will be Lord. And number three, God will be judged. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Galatians 6, 8 and 9. We don't mock God. He is our judge, and he will hold us accountable for obeying him or disobeying him. Friends, we need to take God seriously. Serving God takes humble, reverent obedience. Serving God is serious business. He's not to be trifled with. We must serve God with reverence and awe, because he is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, and we see that very clearly in his consumption of Nadab and Abihu with his fire. Serving God must be according to God's will, not ours. We must be not ignorant of God's will, but understand what the will of the Lord is and do it, Ephesians 5, 17. And we call upon you, friend, to do that today. Can we help you be one of God's priests today and have a family that is saved and right with God, and serve God who will be God? Let us help you to do that. Come worship with us. Come study with us. Please contact us. Thank you for being with us today on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you have a good day.